This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am delighted to be with you today. I certainly am. It's a wonderful opportunity to come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and to explore all that He has in mind for us to receive together today. I just love it. He is always inundating us with blessings. We just have to be open to catch them and to receive them, and to cooperate with the graces that they bring. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. And I'm encouraging you to pick up the call, the phone, and to give us a call. Matt Kubensky is there. He's waiting for you. 833-288-EWTN. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature there. Put in your name. Put in your question. Let us know if you're on YouTube or Facebook. Let us also know if you're a first-time submitter. And Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, will retrieve it, get it up on the board for me. And if you're a first-time submitter and if you're a first-time caller, we do want to know so that I can do this. I can ring my bell to welcome you to the program today. Always happy to ring that bell and always happy to hear from you. It is Wednesday. That means it's Wacky Wednesday, and that means Sue Brinkman is with us. We're going to be talking about a very fascinating topic today. I know it's one that you're going to have lots of questions about, but we answer questions on a wide variety of topics on these Wednesdays. So please do call us with your questions. Again, that number 833-288-EWTN. In the meantime, get on out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of lovely things are going on there for you. We want you to take advantage of each and every single one of them. I mentioned to you that our book study, which was to begin April the 10th, is actually now beginning April the 17th. We had to push it back a week because of some technical issues, as well as getting the books to everybody on time. Just when you think, you know, you got it all figured out, well, you discover you don't. And it's one of the ways in which the Lord brings you to that great virtue of humility. So we accept these little opportunities to grow in grace. But it is beginning April the 17th. That book study is on the book, Holy Handmaids of the Lord, Women Saints Who Won the Battle for Souls. So these are warrior women. Woohoo! Warrior women. And Sue Brinkman, a warrior woman herself, is going to be with us today. Maybe she'll chit-chat a little bit with us about this book study before we dive into the topic that we will be talking about at the beginning of the program here. Also want to remind you of the fact that I am going to be in San Antonio, Texas this weekend. I'm very, very excited about it. I really am. I have holy anticipation. I just think that the Lord is going to pull all of the stops out, and we want you to be there when the stops get pulled out. Because when the stops get pulled out, oh my goodness, it's an inundation of grace. It just floats down from the heavenlies, and we want you to be under that spout where the glory pours out. We're going to be at Our Lady of Atonement Catholic Church. It begins Friday evening. Men and women invited to this beautiful time. I believe it's at 5 p.m. Central time that we begin. You can check our website, womenofgrace.com. You'll see April 14th mentioned there. Just click on it. It'll take you to a landing page. It's going to give you all of the facts. I'm going to be talking about living the power of the resurrection, or living resurrection power, which is going to be just a fantastic entry into this great reality that is ours by way of the resurrection, and what it is that God wants to give us through that resurrection. He wants to really involve us in a big way with all of the graces that come from that event. We're going to be talking about those, how it is that we receive them, what they are, and how it is that we live them. All of that good stuff will be happening this Friday evening at Our Lady of Atonement Catholic Church. On Saturday at 1 p.m., from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time, we're going to be gathering together with women and young girls ages 13 and up for a beautiful, beautiful Sisters in Christ tea party. I just love that. I know it's going to be beautiful and lovely. I'll be presenting there. We're going to be talking about the Immaculate Heart of Our Mother, Treasury of All Grace. I'm going to be talking with you about the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady, how this beautiful opportunity exists for us to enter into her heart, to receive all of that treasury of grace that is hers. And, you know, it's just going to be, I think, a lovely time to come together. So I'm encouraging you to find out all about it out there at my website. I'll tell you what, I'm going to be leaving tomorrow. So I'm going to be heading off to Texas tomorrow in the early evening. And, you know, then we're going to be there and we're going to be ready for you. So please, please do check it out at womenofgrace.com. All kinds of lovely things available for you there. In addition to that, we want you to check out everything else that's going on at Women of Grace listed for you underneath the upcoming events. It takes you through until December. I think that there are some things in there that are not quite up yet, but they're coming. They're coming. If they're not there, we've got all the highlights there. We want you to join us in Malvern this summer in July. It's not too early to be making those plans. We already have women registered for the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar, as well as the retreat weekend, which will begin there. We're going to be in Malvern on July the 20th, which is when the Benedicta Retreat at Enrichment Seminar begins. Sue Brinkman, with us today, is going to be leading that. And here is the theme for the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. You are going to love this. The Science of Weakness, A Journey into the Life and Teachings of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Can you imagine? My goodness. We're going to have just hours to unpack this. It begins Thursday day at 8 a.m. until 7 p.m. And then Friday from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. 8 a.m. I think is when we eat breakfast. I think the day actually gets started at 9. But it's going to be quite lovely. And that's going to be followed by our Women of Grace retreat, which I know is going to be just a beautiful, beautiful time as well. Go deeper. Healing the wounds of the heart is what the theme is. I'll be doing a lot of those presentations. We're going to be really going deep into inner healing. So if there are areas of your life that need to be reconciled, if there's areas of your life that you know just are a little out of whack and you don't know why, if you want to know how it is that we receive the graces and what those graces are that heal these wounds of the heart, this is definitely the retreat for you. Father Ken Geraci of the Fathers of Mercy is going to be joining us. I'm very excited to have him with us. This is his first time with us, and he's just a beautiful, beautiful holy priest of God. And I know you're going to be very, very, very abundantly blessed. So check all of that out. In the meantime, we're here for you today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you, encouraging you to begin to get your questions to us. Sue Brinkman is with us, and we're going to be talking about automatic writing and the difference between that and interior locution. So it's going to be, I think, just a fascinating topic, but we're here to receive any of the questions that you might have about some of the strange things that you see going on in your community and within various kinds of outreaches that are available to us today. We have to be so very careful. I'm thinking of that passage from Peter, where St. Peter writes, and he says that, you know, we have to be vigilant. Be vigilant. The devil is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. We certainly don't want we don't want to find ourselves in the jaws of the beast, do we? So we have to be very, very vigilant. And it's to that end. Oh boy, I'm going to sneeze here. It's to that end. Excuse me, that we come together every Wednesday. I apologize for that. I've been sneezing all morning. There's a lot of pollen here in Birmingham right now. You know, we've got things that are coming into bloom, and oh dear, it's just everywhere. I'm sure you're experiencing that in other parts of the country as well. 833-288-EWTN. That is the way that you can join us today. Also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Be sure to use the chat feature there to get your question up. Coming right back, and Sue Brinkman is going to be with us. Stay tuned. Well, there you hear that music, and it lets you know that it really is Wednesday after all. It's a wacky Wednesday here on Women of Grace Live. Sue Brinkman is with us. We're going to be talking about some things that are important for you to know and questions that come up all the time for us. You can send your questions to Sue. newage.womenofgrace.com is the way that you can get them directly to Sue. She will answer them in the blog. We do want to remind you about that blog. You know, there's nothing else quite like it out there. We have over 1,600 questions and answers there for you on a variety of topics. You can actually search it by subject interest, you know. So if you want to know, you know, more about yoga, you can put in yoga and all of the articles will come up on that. Reiki, same way. The occult, same way. Tarot cards, one of the things in the occult, same way. So we invite you to use that and to use it routinely. We do know that lots of exorcists refer to that site. So it's something that's been very useful to the church at large, and we want it to be useful to you as well. In addition to that, I want to remind you that Sue does have a podcast. It is in our library out there on our website, womenofgrace.com. You'll see it. It's Grace Under Fire, Exposing the Darkness. Click on that particular tile, and other tiles will open up where you will find podcasts underneath the subject areas that are entered there. So great tools for you. I think a great resource for you to keep in mind. You should actually try to bookmark it or something so that you can get to it quickly when you need it. You can access it from the Women of Grace app as well. We invite you to download our app. Just go to where it is that you purchase your app, put in Women of Grace. It'll come up. It's free of charge. It's a very nice, robust little app. We encourage you to get it, and you can access just about everything that's on our website. I think everything through that app. So it's very convenient for you to have. And by the way, our Women of Grace website is mobile friendly. So when you access it via your phone, you're going to find that everything is well suited for your phone, and you can read everything, which is really, really nice too. So that's the Women of Grace app. Hey, good morning to you, Sue.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing fine, but I'm fighting, this little, I think, allergy business that's going on with this pollen. So I sound a little bit, even in my own ear in the mic, I can hear it. And, everything gets flowing. When you have these days. And you said it's like that up there in the Philly area too, huh?
Oh, everything's blooming. All the trees are blooming. All the plants are coming up now. So we're like inundated with pollen. It's everywhere. Don't open the windows, which we want to do. But it just leaves a coating of pollen over everything in your house. So it's very, very, the air is just full of the pollen. But I love the spring, and especially in Pennsylvania. And you know how beautiful it is here when all those trees start to bloom and all the beautiful colors. To walk through our woods up here it's just so beautiful. But it tells me that God forgave us and he's given us another year.
It is a beautiful thing.
I love it's that. True. That's just what it tells me. It tells me that, okay, here come the daffodils. Here come the tulips. They're popping up again. Yes, Lord, thank you. Forgive us our sins. We don't deserve this, but thank you. And we'll make the best of this new year that's coming along here. Yeah,
it's true. I'm thinking about the fact that tulips happen to be my favorite flower. And of course, I lived in Florida for so very many years. Tulips do not grow in Florida. You can get them, but they don't grow because it's sandy soil. It's not agreeable for tulips or daffodils or any of those beautiful spring flowers. And that is something that we have in Alabama as well as you having it in Pennsylvania. And I'm happy about that because I get to see those spring flowers again in the ground, rather than in a vase.
but
I do like
happy
them.
Flowers.
They are. Those tulips, I don't know. There's just something about them. I think they're very stately, but then, as they begin to come to their maturity, they kind of droop over. And I just think that it's a beautiful cascade in a vase. I just really, really love it. But there's something about that speaks to how it is. In our youth, we're very upright and young, and then as we get older, we start keeling over.
When you say drooping, I thought, sort of like the skin on my face starts to droop after a while.
Oh, gee, well, I don't know what to say about that, but all of that being said, the springtime is a reminder that God is with us and that new life is always happening. And it's a reminder that new life is to happen in our souls too. So we want to stay away from all this crazy stuff that we talk about on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But you want to talk about the difference between interior locutions and automatic writing. So I think we need to start with automatic writing. And sometimes I think we have a misconception about that in relation to the evangelists even. So let's talk a little bit about automatic writing, what it is and what it isn't.
Yeah, automatic writing is actually a form of channeling. Mm. So when you hear automatic writing, think channeler, think medium, because that's really what it is. It's also known as trance writing. That's another name for it, because the person kind of goes into a trance and then they write down whatever goes through their mind. They allow themselves to be taken over or to be influenced in some way by a spiritual entity, and then they write down whatever comes to their mind. New Agers believe that with automatic writing that you can tap into your subconscious mind where the true self exists and where deep mystical thoughts can be accessed. You know how they get into all that esoteric stuff.
Yes.
And that's exactly what they do to it. But actually what automatic writing is channeling. It's a form of channeling. It's a way to access, you know, outside intelligences, as they refer to them, or spiritual entities for advice and for guidance. So that's what it is. And there's been a lot of very famous automatic writers. And I think probably the one that most of our listeners would be the most familiar with would be Helen Schuckman. And she's the author of A Course in Miracles. And she claimed that Jesus was, you know, she was channeling Jesus, and she wrote A Course in Miracles through automatic writing. She went into a trance state and then would just write down everything that she believed Jesus was telling her. She's a very famous one. Another one is Jane Roberts. She was a psychic and a spirit medium to begin with. And she claimed to be channeling this spirit named Seth. And Seth was imparting all the wisdom of the universe to her. And she was sharing this with the rest of the world. And it didn't end very well because Seth eventually, I think, turned on them and her husband and started to become threatening and that sort of thing. So he kind of revealed himself in the end. But that was Jane Roberts. There's been quite a few. Helene Smith, she was a French psychic. She invented an entire written language, which she claimed was her way of communicating with Martians. And she... Believe it or not, the book she wrote about that was a bestseller in her day. This was, you know, 60, 70 years ago now. She also claimed to be a reincarnation of a Hindu princess and Marie Antoinette, both at the same time. So that was probably an interesting life story there. But anyway, her Martian language was later found to be suspiciously similar to the French language, which was, by the way, her native tongue. So she... In other words, she was making it all up. But there is such a thing as automatic writing. It is used by demonic entities in order to overtake a person. You're actually allowing yourself to be, in a word, possessed.
Yes.
So that this entity can speak through you, whether it's the spoken word, which is what would happen during a channeling session, or automatic writing, it's going to be through the written word. So it's really the same thing as channeling, only it's in writing rather than in speaking.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you know, what I have heard is that when people are under the influence of that demon, you know, they are writing furiously, and it isn't really thought processes that are going through their mind. It's like dictation, and they're like a dictation machine, you know, just spitting it out.
Exactly. They're just writing down everything that comes into their mind. They're not thinking about it. They're not really engaged in anything that they're being told. They're just writing everything down that they hear. And they're taking this to be whatever, you know, from their interior self or wherever they're taking the communication to be from. We all know where that communication is coming from. Mm-hmm. But people have a tendency to mistake Christian writing and Christian mysticism, like Catherine of Siena. They say, well, how come she had to be doing automatic writing because she didn't know how to write. She didn't even know how to write, and yet she would receive all these messages from the Lord. So she must have been recording them that way. But that's not true. St. Catherine actually received the gift of writing. She was not taught how to write. She was just given the gift of that by the Lord. So she was writing as if she had always known how to write. Mm-hmm. She did not participate in any form of guided writing. Father Francois-Marie Darmin, he wrote a critique, a very good critique. In fact, I give you a link in the latest blog that I wrote on this subject to his critique of the writings of Vasily Ryden.
Is she Poem of the Man God? No.
No,
Vasily Ryden.
Let me look her up because I have an extensive blog on her, and you can also get some of Father's information on her too. He wrote really the definitive work on her and what's wrong with it. Mm-hmm. She wrote the name of her book.
I'm looking it up too. We're all looking it up for you, friends.
True Life in God. True Life in God. I wouldn't have thought of that one. I was thinking of something else, but yeah, True Life in God is what Vasily Ryden wrote, but. He wrote about that, and Father says, mystics have always been respected in their humanity and their liberty and have never been guided by God against their will and forced to do things that they could not achieve otherwise. So you could never really put a Catholic mystic into the same category as a medium.
Mm-hmm.
You could never do that. When a saint writes what God inspires him or her to write, the person is fully aware of what they're writing, and they're not allowing themselves to be used as a kind of channel or conduit, which would be the case in automatic writing. So, you know, God doesn't behave that way with his saints. He doesn't, you don't channel God.
Right.
Mystics, yeah, they do go into states of ecstasy, but God doesn't possess their bodies and use them to do his bidding. He always respects the free will of his creatures.
Yeah. I just want to say that I did look up Poem of the Man God, and that is Maria Valtorta. And Father Mitch has an article out there at EWTN's website about it and explains that, you know, this is a heretical book and it has been rejected by Rome. And I'm sure that that's the same thing with the Sola Ridens book.
Yes. And the thing about that is when you look at her work, there's a lot in the work that's actually very beautiful and
yeah.
That's inspiring. It brings people to God. I mean, but there's traces of things in there that are not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the devil works.
Right.
That's how he does. He's not going to make it, you know, blatantly wrong. He's not going to do that because he knows he's not going to be able to get devout souls to read it. They're going to put it down the minute they read something like that. He does little tiny things in there. And as I said, Father Domine, he writes a very long treatise. It's about 40 pages long. About what exactly is wrong with Vastila Ryden's work. And it's their little nuances about the faith that she gets wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when some of these things were pointed out to her, she went and changed them. So that was a very bad thing to do when she did that. When
right.
She changed it, because that said to you, okay, well, wait a minute. If this came from God, why aren't you respecting this as the words of God? And
yeah.
You're in there changing them. Like that.
Yeah. We have to be careful. Listen, Juan has a very interesting comment. Juan is with us on Facebook, Sue, and he says, have you heard of automatic writing for texting? We are cleaning out my wife's late aunt's home, and the phone will start texting. It has been weird and hate-filled and will sometimes be in French. It tells us to leave. Have you heard of this before? It only happens in this old house.
Absolutely heard of it before, haven't we, Johnette?
Mm-hmm. We sure have.
Exorcists are talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, hey, Satan gets into technology and he uses it, and they have personally experienced. Monsignor Rossetti is one of them that did personally experienced a phone receiving text from Satan and messages from Satan telling him to leave their personal loan that they were trying to help. Leave him alone. He's mine, and that sort of thing. And absolutely, he gets into those cell phones. Father Sakia, who was with us at our last Women of Grace retreat, he also writes about that.
Mm-hmm.
An experience that he had.
Mm-hmm.
His secretary, I believe it was, a phone of someone who he was working with in the office in another room. And the phone was out by the secretary. And the secretary read the stuff that was going on that was being said in the text, and it was all from Satan. So yes, absolutely, this can happen. Now, why it would be in French? I'm kind of curious about that. You know, why that language? Did that have something to do with the family? You know, why would it have been in French? And it said, "It's we are cleaning out my wife's late aunt's home, and the phone will start texting. Whose phone? Is it the late aunt's phone? You know, whose phone?" So I would, that's very interesting. And if Juan, if you're listening to me right now, if you would just email me at newage@womenofgrace.com, that'll come directly to me. I'd like to know a little bit more about that. Just give me a couple more of those details. Why the French language, and whose phone was it? And if you can remember any of the exact, any of the things that were said. Tell me about this so I can look into this a little bit further.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And, you know, we've had individuals tell us, exorcists and those who work with exorcists tell us that during the process of an exorcism, you know, the phone will start to text. And it is. It's the demon communicating, you know. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, these demonic powers want us to be afraid. But the fact of the matter is, stronger is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So we know that the only power that they have is the power that God gives to them, you know, in those instances. But they're on a short leash. So we tell you these things, but we don't want you to be frightened. We do want you to be cautious and vigilant, and we want you to stay away from these kinds of things, because we don't want to tempt the evil one, and we don't want to tempt the hand of God either. So, you know, we need to be very, very careful. We have Deanna Williston out there, and Deanna wants to know if Ellen White, who is a Seventh-day Adventist, was also involved in automatic writing. Do you know anything about her, Sue?
I don't specifically know about her, but I can say this. If she is using any kind of mechanical writing that we have just described, and this is a great way for you to be able to tell this for anybody's writings, these are the signs that you look for. If that person says they just sat down and blanked their mind and then wrote down anything that came into their mind, they are participating in automatic writing. That's what mm-hmm. that is. So if that's how Ellen White got her writings, and she has things like, you know, the great controversies and all this kind of stuff, all of her stuff, I'm looking at it now, Angel's Messages, Christian Experience, Views and Labors in Connection with the Rise and Progress of the Third Angel. So she's talking about angels and all this kind of stuff. Be very careful with this stuff. Very, very careful, because you have a lot of seers out there who are claiming that they're writing down messages that they're getting from the archangels and that sort of thing. You got to watch out for all of that stuff. If the church hasn't approved it, don't even pay attention to it. You don't need it. You don't need it.
Yeah. And we do want to be very careful, because there's a lot of false spiritualities out there. And we know that that is the case with some of these sects, S-E-C-T-S, such as Jehovah Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists. There are others. So there's absolutely no reason for us to get involved in reading any of the literature that comes out of these false belief systems. We have the fullness of truth in our Catholic faith. We've got sacred scripture. We've got 2,000 years of teaching, 2,000 years plus of teaching that we know to be true and authentic. And so, you know, we know who Jesus Christ is. In many of these sects, Jesus Christ is not the only begotten Son of God. He is not the second person of the Blessed Trinity made flesh. He is not an incarnate God. So we need to be very, very careful and not to get involved in any of these. We want to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. When we come back, Sue's going to be talking with us a little bit more about interior locutions, authentic interior locutions. So stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy that you're with us today. It is Wednesday. That means that Sue Brinkman is with us, and it is a pretty wacky one today here. We're talking about some creepy stuff, I'm telling you. We're talking about automatic writing, and we're going to talk about authentic interior locutions and why that is not the same thing as automatic writing or receiving messages like from, you know, a demonic presence by way of mediumship or channeling. But one had... I want to get to this right away, Sue, and we've got our phone lines lighting up, and there's still room for you, though. We've got three lines available, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Juan is out there on Facebook, and of course, we're available to you through EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature. And he sent a question in, and he asked if we had heard of automatic writing for texting, that they're cleaning out his wife's late aunt's home, and the phone will start texting. And he says it's been weird and hate-filled and will sometimes be in French, and it tells everybody to leave. So he wanted to know about that. So you asked him to give you some more information. Whose phone is it that's texting? Is it the aunt's phone? But he wrote back and he told us, no, it's both his phone and the wife's phone. They're in the New Orleans area. And that there is now, and I don't know where we got this part of the message, but that there was some discussion like in the neighborhood that prior to the aunt's arrival in that home, the previous occupants practiced voodoo. So I said to you, it sounds like it's a residential spirit. It lives in that house and it doesn't want anybody messing with that house. And of course, that would explain the French too, because, you know, we've got that French quarter, that influence of France very, very much there, the cage and the whole thing. So what do you think?
Absolutely. It's probably a resident spirit. It's not automatic writing. That would not be automatic writing. Mm-hmm. That is a direct communication from an entity who was warning you away from there.
Yeah.
And that's what these different exorcists that we know about, that's what they experienced.
Right.
That was actually a satanic being who actually texted through the phone to try to warn them to get away. So that's what I think happening here. Whoever this resident spirit is, if they were practicing voodoo, all kinds of spirits are probably in that residence hanging around there because they were invited.
That's right.
They were invited. They were given permission. So they're going to stay there until someone withdraws that permission. They're going to stay there. So,
yeah.
And whoever, you know, they clean it out from the lay-in, whoever comes, you know, and lives in it the next time, they're going to have to deal with that too, because it's going to stay there. It's not going to leave.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and the aunt's deceased now. So, I mean, it's impossible for you one to go back and ask her about these things. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I wonder if she had ever communicated to her neighbors or to family members that there were weird things going on in the house. You know, these houses are, there is such a thing as a haunted house, you know, and it can be, generally speaking, it'll be infested. There'll be more than one spirit there. And the resolution to that, of course, is for the house to be exorcised. You get an exorcist to come in and exorcise the house to clean it out. You know, and as I've shared in the past, I had an experience with a neighbor across the street from me where I lived in Florida, where the house was infested and an exorcist had to come in and clean it out. And that's exactly what happened. But, you know, yeah, these things are very peculiar. If you have to go in there, you know, I go in there all suited up with sacramentals and prayed up and all that kind of stuff. Go with blessed salt and holy water and a Saint Benedict medal on your person and maybe even a Saint Benedict cross until you can get it resolved. You know, I don't know if they own the property or what the deal is with that at this point since the aunt's passing, but you got to do something with it. We've got, we're going to get to Kelly. Kelly, hang on for us, and you too, Mary, and you, Marie, and all of you who are also calling in, because I want to make sure that we talk about interior locutions and why this is not the same as mediumship or channeling or automatic writing.
Yeah, this is very important. There's actually three different kinds of locutions that Christians will experience during prayer. And these come from Teresa of Avila now, mostly from her book, The Interior Castle. Corporal locutions are those that would be actually heard by the physical power of hearing. That is very rare, and they are the most suspect of all, because the devil is more than capable of speaking to you in that form.
And an audible voice.
An audible voice. And he can fool even the most adept soul. Saints Teresa of Avila, many of the other saints have warned you to just ignore any messages that you hear with your ears. Just ignore them. If God really wants to tell you something, he's going to tell you some way that you're going to not be suspicious of it. He's going to tell you in a way that you'll accept it. So imaginary locutions now are those that are referring to the imaginative faculty, which receive the same kind of impression as if you had heard words, but it's not words. You'll see a vision of in your head. You'll just all of a sudden see something. A sign of some kind, and or a figure, or a room of your house, whatever it is that you might be praying about, something will show up, and you will see that image in your mind, and it will instantly explain whatever it is you're looking for. Like only God could have done that. Then you have intellectual locutions. These are the most reliable, the most stable. In this type, God imprints what he's about to say in the depths of your spirit without the use of any voice, any sounds, no words. It's often described as an infusion of knowledge. You just suddenly have this clear understanding of some subject or a situation. So it happens a little bit like that little image that he'll put in your mind about something. But this time it'll just be, you just suddenly know something. Like you've read this piece of scripture over and over again, but this time you read it and all of a sudden your eyes were opened. Just like we heard, you know, in our gospel this morning on the road to Emmaus, you know, how he just opened their eyes and all of a sudden they realized who it was that they were sitting with, that it was Jesus. And this is what happens in an intellectual locution. And they're the ones that are, as I said, the most reliable. So if you hear corporal, ignore them. You know, God's probably not going to talk to you in a corporal locution because he knows that you're not going to fall for that. Because we do receive so many different warnings about that, not to listen to things that you hear with your ears. But also St. John of the Cross says really in any of these different locutions, you don't have to listen to any of them. If God needs to get something across to you, he'll do it in a way that you'll accept it and understand it and won't be suspicious of it. He'll do it in a way that you'll be very certain that it was from him. So, but the intellectual locutions are the best. They're the ones you want to have. I have a very good imagination, and people who have a good imagination will also frequently get imaginary locutions. I'll just get something in my head and say, oh yeah, okay, now I get it. You know, he'll remind me about something that might have happened in my past, and I'll just see it in my head for a split second, and I'll be like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I forgot about that. So, you know, he does work with them, but it's usually people who are more visual that he'll mm-hmm. use those with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of things on that. First, one of the things that I wanted to say is that, you know, we're told not to be seeking these kinds of gifts. If God wants to give them, he gives them. Second of all, you know, pay attention to what's going on inside of you, you know, because the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is impressing something upon us, even if it's a message which in its essence could be disturbing, there's going to be an incredible amount of peace and calm that you experience interiorly. I often say when the Holy Spirit is convicting us, you know, he'll be pointing out a fault, but it comes and it's so sweet tasting to the soul that you say, oh, tell me more about all of my weaknesses. Because
it's
accompanied that way. And you always know that that's the difference between conviction of the Holy Spirit and condemnation. The evil one condemns. We feel horrible and awful and rotten and miserable. It's not the way that God works. So, you know, test what it is that you're hearing by way of what is the interior response that you have towards that. And then finally, you know, I think, Sue, you know, when we're living a life of prayer and when we're sincerely seeking the Lord makes himself known to us. So it should be in the ordinary experience of the Christian to be guided and directed by God, you know. And I guess what I want to say is ecstasies and things of that nature, that's kind of like in another category, but God is always leading us and guiding us. And he works through the reality of our humanity, which is that we're, you know, a composite of body and soul. So he uses the faculties of the soul, one of which is emotions, one of which is imagination, to communicate to us.
Absolutely, he does. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's how we refine those different ways of listening and communicating with our God, deepening our prayer life, our spiritual life. And all these things, by the way, don't happen in a vacuum. We have a very fallen nature, and a lot of these different locutions that we get could have something wrong with them because of our mm-hmm. sin life, and because they have to get filtered through our psyche. So I know Father Groeschel says in his book, A Still Small Voice, that I think it's a number as high as 70 or 80% of what people, seers, will hear is not accurate mm-hmm. Because it's being filtered through them. In other words, they're putting their own little spin on it, even though they don't realize that they're doing that.
That's right.
It's a very small percentage that is just an absolutely pure message from the Lord. So that's another thing to be very careful of. But like I said, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. This is people who are deeply committed to the gospel of Jesus. They have a regular prayer life. They want communion with God. They're looking for God. They're not looking for a spiritual thrill.
That's right.
They really want to be near to Jesus, and he's going to communicate with you in these ways. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you've got to learn the voice of your shepherd.
That's
you
right.
have to learn his voice, because there's a lot of voices out there that aren't your shepherd.
Yeah.
And they're coming from bad sources.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's go to Kelly. She is a first-time caller, and she is in Northwest Ohio. And I'm ringing my bell for you there, Kelly. Welcome. Oh, Sue's ringing her bell too. Hi, Kelly.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
When she's talking about the intellectual allocations, mm-hmm. Can these change and become demonic? And how can I make sure, like insight, like you were talking about explanations of something you hear at Mass or something you read in the Bible or some part of a prayer. How can I make sure that these insights are pure, and can they become demonic?
We could actually make anything demonic. You know, you could actually hear something from God and then twist it around to be something that you want it to be. You could do that yourself. But if you're hearing something from God, as John had pointed out so wisely, God's communications come with peace. They come okay. with a great, that's kind of like his signature. There's a great mm-hmm. sense of
okay.
peace with it. Now, if Satan was going to twist that around and change it, you would feel disturbance of some kind. Fear,
okay.
anxiety, you would feel distrust, suspicion, something like that. But if it comes from God, like especially if you're not looking for it, Especially right. if you're not looking for something. You just happen to be reading the Bible, and all of a sudden something jumps out on the page, and you just suddenly understand this. And it's like, wow, you know, I never even noticed this before. That's something you can, and you feel a great joy and peace and happiness for having learned this. That's something you can pretty much depend on as being from God.
Okay. So, and if I share insights, does that make it, like, a bad thing?
No. No, okay. You can share them with other people. You know, you don't want to share things in a way that where you're saying, like, this is what God says to everyone, because he may not. Maybe he's just talking to you. So you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, and I would be very careful, like, if you feel as though God's giving you insights about another person or something like that, be very careful with the way in which you approach somebody with that and the language that you use, you know.
Nothing is ever about anybody else. It's been all prayer, Bibles, math, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. It's never like a gossipy thing.
Yeah. Do you have a spiritual director, Kelly?
No, I do not.
Okay, so I think it would be good for you. You know, I think, Sue, it's always very valuable to have a good spiritual companion. It can be a spiritual director, somebody that officially carries that title because they've gone through a program that's trained them to be one. Or it can be somebody that is more advanced than oneself in the spiritual life. So we look for someone who has a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more experience in the ways of God than we do. Because they can help for us to ferret these things out. And I would say that there are seasons in our life where we do need that kind of help and assistance. And sometimes the great saints, like Sue is doing with us today, she's giving us great words from a great saint, Saint Teresa of Avila. So we can take that to the bank, you know, and deposit it, because we know that we're really getting good instruction and good help and guidance. So I would encourage you to do that. You might go to your pastor and ask your pastor if he knows of anybody that, you know, could be a spiritual companion to you or a spiritual director for you. Especially as you continue to move forward in your life of prayer and these things begin to, you know, become more, you know, routine or more emphasized. What do you think, Sue?
Okay. Absolutely. And I would also avail myself of the writings of the saints on these subjects.
That's
because
right.
they have given us good information and read that. Teresa of Avila's The Interior Castle is a blueprint. I mean, that's mm-hmm. just really, that's the way to union with God. And she goes through every stage of the spiritual life and and your prayer life and all that happens in between there. And it's a great book to read. And also Father Dubé's book, Fire Within, which takes the writings of Teresa of Avila and puts them in a more modern, you know, everyday language. Those two books will be a great help to you in understanding the spiritual path forward into union with God and advancing, especially advanced experiences in prayer.
Yeah, and let me add to that too. When you mentioned Father Thomas Dubé, what a marvelous, marvelous man of God he was, and I'm sure that he's enjoying his eternal beatitude right now, even if he's getting cleaned up in purgatory. Just a wonderful man. He wrote a great book that I think everybody would benefit by, and it's called "How to Grow the Divine Life Within." Let me just go out here really fast and get the exact title for you. Because it's a question and answer book, Sue. I don't know if you've seen that one or not, but
And I have a lot of his books, too.
You don't have that one?
I
love
that one,
this
though.
One. And he gets into some of the big issues that we talk about, you know, with regard to some of the counterfeit kinds of, spiritualities that are out there. Sometimes I can't talk and type at the same time. It's How to Grow the Divine Life Within. Here it is. Seeking Spiritual Direction, How to Grow the Divine Life Within.
Okay.
And that's really good. And I think, and it says that there's only one left in stock out there on Amazon. So I would rush out and get it. But I'm just saying. But all of that being said, that's a great book, and it'll be a good help to you, Kelly. But as Sue says, you know, St. Teresa of Avila, you just can't do better than she. And John of the Cross, too, right there with her. Let's get to Mary. Mary is in Urbana, Illinois today, listening to us via WLHF. Hey, Mary.
Hi, Johnette. Can you hear me?
We sure can. How are you?
Okay, great. It's good to talk to you. I've called you before. Now, my question today is for you and Sue. It's regarding Sanctuary Prayer, the book specifically by Father Thomas Keating, it was recently given to me by a friend who sort of tends to get around New Agey type things. But I'm enjoying the book, and I know the church does not condemn centering prayer, such as, you know, taught by Father Keating. It doesn't also condone it either. Do either of you have anything to weigh in on that?
Yeah, well, which one wants to go first here, Sue?
We need a whole show on centering prayer. No, I am not a fan. Not a fan. In fact, Father Thomas Dubé, we were just talking about him, and I had a personal interview with him for an article I was writing years ago, and he just lit into centering prayer and what's wrong with it. Any form of prayer. Centering prayer is based on transcendental meditation. That's where it comes from. Thomas Keating tells you that in his book, or one of his books, he tells you that. And what it's doing is it's using the name of Jesus, a Christian name, to blank thoughts from your mind. The problem with it is that when you're moving forward in Christian prayer, as taught by the Catholic mystics, the last thing you want to do is banish all your thoughts, because some of those thoughts and inspirations are coming from God, and he's telling you to come move forward, come toward him. You know, certain things you just don't want to be blanking your mind. Christian prayer is always a dialogue. It's a two-way dialogue between the soul and God. And if you're not doing that, if you're just sitting there blanking your mind, you are not praying. I don't care what they call it. And they say, well, it's just getting us ready to enter into prayer. But in a lot of cases, when you read some of their literature, they never really get into the prayer part. They just spend the 20 minutes blanking the mind by using the name of Jesus or some other holy name. And I always tell people, it's just wonderful to sit and say the name of Jesus, but sooner or later, you got to get beyond saying his name and start talking to him. Because then you're getting into Christian prayer. That's what Christian prayer is talking to God. So I'm not a fan, Mary. I'm just not a fan of centering prayer.
No. And you know, now... oftentimes what you'll hear advocates of centering prayer say, including Thomas Keating, who really was an evangelist of it, along with Basil Pennington, what you will hear him say is that this is the prayer of the ancient desert fathers. It is not the prayer of the ancient desert fathers. The ancient desert fathers would pray the Jesus prayer, which is, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And they would use that formula prayer, and they would breathe in on it and breathe out on it. But they're placing themselves in a right position with God. They're recognizing who God is. They're recognizing that they're not God. They're recognizing that they're sinful, and they're recognizing that they're in need of a Savior. Centering prayer, aka Thomas Keating and Basil Pennington, has nothing to do with that. And so we might mention that Benedict XVI, before he was Holy Father, Cardinal Ratzinger wrote, a letter on some aspects of Christian meditation, and he doesn't refer to this by name, but he does refer to the practice of what it is that we're describing, that is the centering prayer of Keating and Pennington. So, you know, Mary, don't just put it, just get rid of it. I mean, just, you know, just get rid of it. And truly, you know, some of these people end up more Buddhist than they end up Catholic in the end. Such as the case with Thomas Merton, for example. So all of these things, we have to be very, very careful. Just stick with classical Christian prayer.
That was helpful. That's kind of what I was thinking I would hear from you. Thank you.
There you go. All right.
We didn't disappoint.
We didn't disappoint. It also means we're pretty predictable, Sue. I don't know. Let's go to Marie. She's in the Mid-Atlantic listening to us via EWTN.com. Hey, Marie.
Hi, Janet. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you, too. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I just wanted to know, reggae music, is that demonic? Is there something that is attached to that is not of God? Also, my daughter-in-law had a friend who was practicing Wicca, and she actually, the friend, passed away. I only met her a couple of times. I didn't really know her. But she passed away due to COVID. Now, I'm concerned because my son is a gifted, beautiful musician, and I know those gifts came from God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. We're right at the end. Sue, very quickly.
Reggae music is kind of infused with that Rastafari philosophy. But it's not necessarily, it has to be satanic. Of course, any kind of music can be used in the wrong way, especially depending on what those lyrics are. So, yeah, you got to be very careful about that.
Uh-huh.
And did you mention... Go ahead.
Wicca. I mean, obviously, Wicca is witchcraft, so you stay far away from that, right? Pray for the soul of that woman that died there. Well, I think we have to leave it there, Sue. I mean, our end came so fast here, and friends, it's been great being with you. And Sue's going to be back with us again next week. I want you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Take a look at all of the events coming up. Join Sue for the book study starting this coming Monday. God bless all of you now. Bye-bye.